And now joining us live over the phone from Paris, France this morning at the 2024 Summer Olympic Games, where it's currently 4:30 in the afternoon. That's KSL Sam Farnsworth. Good morning or afternoon, Sam. How are you today?
Not too bad. How are you guys doing?
I think this is amazing. I think we get a little too spoiled and complacent with technology, but what a cool thing to be able to talk to. You sound great, Sam. You really do.
I appreciate that. I mean, look, when you've got the company footing the bill to make our phones international plans, might as well take advantage of it, right?
You know, and just to kind of start off with, you went out there to set up for the games at the end of July, and I follow you on X, formerly Twitter, and you were setting up, and there's, you know, you have like this balcony or this terrace area. And, oh, there in the background is the Eiffel Tower. And I thought to myself, what an amazing experience this is. Tell us about this experience for you. Obviously, you're there to work, and you've been working. Mm-hmm. But to have that kind of backdrop and to have the Olympic Games going on in such a famous city, how has this been going on?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. That's one of the perks to being an NBC affiliate, right, is that NBC, as the main rights holders for the Olympic Games in the United States, they help set up their affiliates with some good backdrops for the live shots. And so, yeah, we're up on top of this, this tower is what we call it. This building that they've built, which is a temporary building, which has multiple NBC sets in it. That's, you know, this is all where the Today Show stuff, the Lester Holt stuff, the Mike Tirico stuff that you see at home is all in that area there. And we're just kind of up on the roof, but we get a pretty sweet backdrop, like you said. And, yeah, I mean, so, yeah, I think you saw the video where I was walking to work in the morning. I get on a shuttle at about 5 a.m. out here and do my live hit at 6 a.m. out here, which is 10 p.m. mountain time for you guys. And I get a couple of hours to sleep before it. I get a couple more hours of sleep after that. And then I get to work the rest of the day going to whatever events I'm assigned to for the day. But it's been a pretty unique and memorable experience so far, for sure.
Well, of course, Sam, you're there to really kind of focus more on not just all the American athletes, but specifically mm-hmm. those from Utah, which of course is the home state for KSL. And so let's start there, and then we'll break it up more into the national landscape. But from the athletes from the Rocky Mountain area, Utah and the region, maybe give us a snapshot of some of the most impressive performances you've seen from the local athletes in these games.
So yeah, sounds kind of surprising, but we have 36
wow.
athletes in the summer games that have connections to the state of Utah, whether they're from Utah, whether they went to college in Utah, whether they currently live in Utah to train there, or whatever the connection is. We have 36. You know, the winter games, we're used to having like 80, 85, something like that. That's pretty normal. But the summer games, this is the most we've ever had. And so it's been a lot of fun to follow a lot of these athletes. And some of the more memorable ones, I mean, early in the games here is when I got acquainted a little more with rugby sevens. And if you've never seen that, that is so fun to watch. It's basically 7-on-7 rugby. Normal rugby is 15 a side, right? And this is 7-on-7, so it's much quicker. They score fast. It's a very fast pace. And they have both men's and women's. And our men's and women's teams both had local Utahns on the roster. The women's team, though, ended up winning a bronze medal with two local athletes on that roster. And so that was really fun to cover there. More recently, you guys, for those who watch the Olympics every night, you would have seen Kenneth Rooks, a former BYU steeplechase runner, win the silver medal in the steeplechase out here a couple of nights ago. And the way he did it was just so remarkable. Like, basically, that bell lap came for the final lap, and he just decided, you know what, this is good. I'm dictating the terms of this race. If I'm going to win, I'm going to win on my terms. If I'm going to finish in 10th place, I'm going to finish in 10th place on my terms. And he kicked the pace. He jumped to the front, and he caught some of the world-class runners all by surprise. And he ended up pulling them to the finish line and got his silver medal. So That was the most recent, really memorable experience from a local. And I'll throw one out that's a bit closer to Star Valley. How about this? Shari Hawkins, who went to Utah State University, she's from Rexburg, Idaho. She is a heptathlete for the United States, currently competing this weekend. Today's the final day of competition. So she's not in the running for a medal, unfortunately. She was not able to record a scoring mark in the high jump yesterday, but she'll be wrapping up tonight, which will be later this afternoon for you guys in the 800 meters. But just remarkable, you know, to think that you can come from, you know, anywhere in the world. You can come from Rexburg. You can come from, you know, Harriman, Utah, or wherever, and have dreams to be in the Olympics someday. That's still pretty cool.
And we talk about medals, and of course, the United States. You know, we get you know, are hung up on our medal count and who's won this and that. But to be able to compete in the Olympics, to represent the United States in the Olympics, that has got to be just an amazing feeling. And you had a chance to talk, obviously, to a lot of these athletes. Tell us about some of those conversations.
Yeah, those stories are just so cool, right? Because I think a lot of times in the United States, we get hung up on winning, you know, right? If it's not first place, it doesn't matter. But at the Olympic Games, it's a little bit different. You know, you can get a silver medal, you can get a bronze medal, and still have the emotion, the sheer emotion and joy of someone that looks like they just won a world championship, right? And we've seen that time and time again. And not only that, but there are athletes, like you said, who have that same emotion from just stepping out onto the field of competition, the track, the pool, whatever it is, wearing their country's colors, just knowing that, wow, I'm here. I'm on the world stage at the Olympic Games representing my country, and the emotion just overcomes those athletes too. So it's not always – that's one of the great things about the Olympic Games, right? It's not always about winning that gold. It's just – it's about the stories. It's about where these athletes have come from, what they've gone through to get to this point in their careers and in their lives, and what it means to them and to their families and friends as well who've supported them along the way. Those are the best stories that always come out of the Olympic Games. And yeah, we've been fortunately, we've been able to share a lot of those throughout the last 2.5-3 weeks as well.
Calling us live from Paris at the 2024 Olympic Games in France is Sam Farnsworth from KSL. Sam, just a few days remain in the Olympic schedule before closing ceremonies and things wrap up. What should our listeners be looking forward to or keep an eye on in these last couple of days in the Olympics?
Well, I mean, I think the big one, I think a lot of just generic or regular sports fans are keeping their eye on is Team USA basketball, right? I mean, yesterday's game against Serbia was a nail biter, and I didn't think it would be. I know Serbia's got a great roster. They've got several NBA players on there. You know, Nikola Jokic, two-time MVP, NBA champion, he's on that roster. But Serbia was up by 17 at one point. They had a 13-point lead going into the final quarter, and, you know, in the Olympics, the quarters are only 10 minutes. They're not 12, so that extra 2 minutes makes a big difference, but the U.S. was able to come back and win. So they'll be playing for gold against the host country, France, tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, France has showed up at every single venue, every single event. If they have a team or an athlete competing, they are loud, they are proud, and you love to see that. You love to see that from a host country. So I think that's the one event left that I'm just like, I will not miss that event, because it's going to be just an amazing atmosphere, and it's for the gold. So we've got that. We got women's soccer playing for gold against Brazil. Women's basketball's got I think they're in the semis today. There's still those final medal moments that are coming down the stretch here.
And the closing ceremonies, of course, as well as
on Sunday.
And they'll do their thing and pass the torch off to the LA Games in 2028. But Sam, we got to at least mention the fact that this whole thing has kind of been going right along with the announcement at the beginning that Salt Lake City getting the Winter Games again in 10 years. What kind of discussion has there been internally being there? Obviously, they're to cover the Summer Games, but you know that that's coming up in the city and the area in which you live. What kind of internal discussions have there been on that?
Well, I mean, that was the biggest story the first 2 days we were out here, because they made that announcement from Paris here, and you had the whole entire Utah Olympic delegation that came out here. You know, any prominent Utahn you can think of was pretty much out here. You know, Gail Miller, former owner of the Jazz, the one who's trying to bring Major League Baseball to Utah, was there. Ryan Smith, the current owner of the Jazz at NHL Utah, he was there with Ashley Smith. Great athletes. Jimmer Fredette was in that delegation. Derek Parra, an Olympic medalist from the 2002 Winter Games, was there. I mean, the list goes on and on. I could keep rattling off names, but they were all here in Paris those first couple of days that we were out here for the final pitch and the vote for the IOC to bring the games to Salt Lake City. And they approved the vote, and it was a huge celebration both in Salt Lake and here in Paris. And it was, I mean, we were wall-to-wall coverage from about 2 a.m. Mountain Time until that 10 p.m. news that night. We were just going wall-to-wall with that coverage. And so it's certainly something that's got a lot of people in Salt Lake and Utah and in just the Rocky Mountain region really excited about bringing those games back to Utah because of how well it was back in 02. There's a lot of belief that it's going to be just a smashing success once again. And it means there's going to be a lot of work for people like myself over the next 10 years. But, hey, it's job security too, right? So looking forward to it. Looking forward to it, and we can't wait for those games to come to Utah.
Well, Sam, we appreciate your time. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule in Paris. I hope Jimmer had a great time at that announcement because the rest of the games didn't really go very well for him. So,
yeah, that was pretty rough, no doubt. Hey, is it the fair right now? Is the fair right now in Afton?
It is so right now, yes.
See, even if you're covering the Olympics in Paris, you got to talk about the fair.
I'm just telling you guys, that's something we get to almost every single year, but this year Paris trumped the Lincoln County Fair, so we missed out this year.
Well, there's not very many things that can trump the Lincoln County Fair, but I guess the Olympics in Paris maybe just barely edge it out.
I don't know. You're not going to find that giant corn dog in Paris, I don't think.
Oh, man. That's true. That's true.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm assuming.
I'll eat an extra eclair instead.
There you go. Sam Farnsworth, KSL, live from Paris as the Olympic Games wrap up this weekend. Sam, thank you so much. Best of luck to you.